Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. My name is Juwanza, and I'm very, very excited to come to you again with another power-packed show. Oh, man, you know, I really enjoy what I do. I really, really enjoy. I grow so much from listening to, you know, people who are experts in their field, life changers and life savers, and you know that it brings me so much fulfillment to be able to bring these people to you, to share these people with you. That brings me so much fulfillment because I know that when you hear the people that you're going to listen to on this broadcast, that it really has the potential to change your life. It has the potential to not just change your life, it can really save your life. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to bring you another powerful show. And judging from the title, you tuned in on purpose, so you know why you're listening. You know that my special guest today is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. She is a very powerful sister with a very powerful testimony. And so I just want everybody to sit back and relax and, you know, get on the phone. If you're listening by phone, text somebody and let them know that my special guest today is going to be none other than Dr. Ruby Lathan. In case you're tuning in for the first time, let me just say hello. Welcome to all of the new listeners. We're constantly getting new listeners. I want to say thank you so much for tuning in and following the show. And to all of the listeners who've been following the show for a while, welcome back. Again, got a powerful show lined up for you with Dr. Ruby. And just in case you've never heard of her before, I guarantee you you won't forget her after this show. I promise you that. Dr. Ruby is a certified holistic nutritionist and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Ruby inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment, which was focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. She worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how they too can re-engineer their health and live disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the national school lunch program. Dr. Lathan is also host of The Veggie Chest, which is a plant-based cooking show. And through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, she hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations. So you can tell from her bio that she's been doing this, and she's been doing it successfully. And I guarantee you, as I stated, that after you hear her today, that you're going to be very much more interested in the topic that we're going to be discussing today. And that topic is the 28-day Going Vegan Transition Program. We'll also be discussing the 3-day detox. But let me get to my special guest. Dr. Lathan, as always, it's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to have you back as my guest again. Welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's always good to be here.
I'm truly, I'm sitting up here grinning from ear to ear because I see the phone lines are lit, and I know what the listeners are in for, you know, so I'm just excited okay. Knowing that they're about to get, you know, and we're going to all enjoy it together. You know, Dr. Lathan, again, we're going to be talking about the 28-day Going Vegan Transition program, and we'll also be discussing the 3-day detox. But as with most things, when people are listening to people who are, quote, experts in their field, and I consider you an expert in your field. I mean, my God, with your testimony, and people will see why I say that. But people want to know, well, what makes this person an expert? You know, if you went to a doctor or someplace or a mechanic or something, you would want to know, okay, well, what makes you the expert? How do I know that you know what you're talking about? So for the listeners who are hearing you for the first time, how do you know what you're talking about? Can you share your testimony, how you came into the holistic health path, and what got you started in, you know, helping other people to re-engineer their life? What was it that brought you to the path?
Sure. For me, it was a health crisis. I was diagnosed with cancer, and I decided that I was going to look at natural treatment for it. I just had a gut feeling that's what I should do, so I started researching on how to heal cancer and how the body works, really, when in dealing with cancer and the thyroid. It was thyroid cancer, so really just started studying. And, of course, I was an engineer at the time. I wasn't in nutrition or health. So this wasn't a background that I had, but it's something I felt I should look into. And through the study that I did, I found quite a bit about the efficacy or the benefit of a plant-based diet in healing the body and preventing a lot of diseases, but also in recovering from a lot of diseases, including cancer and diabetes and all other types of things that a lot of people walking around today have. So I switched my diet to plant-based whole food diet. I switched a lot of things in my life, reducing stress and a lot of other things, added things like meditation and visualization. And in just a little over a year, I was able to reverse the cancer. I was no longer had it, and I used nothing but changing what was on my plate and lifestyle changes. And so once that happened, I wanted to help other people do the same thing. I wasn't sure right away that's what I was going to do, but it just kind of came to me because so many people wanted to know and need this information. And, you know, throughout that year, you know, I had stopped working and all I was doing was studying and about nutrition and health and cancer recovery. And so that's how I gained most of my knowledge. And then later, you know, went through certification program and to formalize things. But really, the bulk of the knowledge is self-study and trying things for myself. And so that's why I do what I do, to help people find their path and not get confused about a lot of the misinformation or disinformation that's out there.
You know what's interesting, Dr. Lathan, is that so many people who may be dealing with health conditions that have changed their life, you know, I mean, there are some people that might, you know, let's say, for example, you might take somebody that's got high blood pressure, and they just go to the doctor, and the doctor prescribes a pill, and they take the pill, and there's really no lifestyle change that, you know, their high blood pressure doesn't really stop them from, you know, going to work, or they don't really have to make any major changes in their life. They just take the pill, and, you know, the side effects, that's a whole other story. But, I mean, they don't have to do any major alterations to continue living their life. But then you have some people who, because of their condition, it may be, you know, a bit more severe, if that's safe to say. Not to say that high blood pressure isn't severe, but, you know, it doesn't, their condition may really put a hamper on their life. They might have to stop going to work, you know, whether it's cancer or, you know, diabetes or dialysis or something. They might have to really just alter their whole life, and now their life, they moved into this cycle of doctor's visits and, you know, if it's dialysis, going to the doctor, you know, maybe several times a week now, or, you know, if it's other things where you're just going back and forth to the doctor, and their life is now filled with doctor's appointments and, you know, needles, and, you know, their whole life has changed. And when you think about what a person could be doing or would be doing if they didn't have those health challenges, you know, what would their purpose be? What, you know, whatever God put them on the planet to do or be, they could be doing that, but because of this health condition, it poses, it's in the way, you know, it's really impeding them doing what it is that they would otherwise be doing. And you help people to actually re-engineer their life by helping them to eliminate, eradicate, get rid of whatever the health condition is, but it's going to take a lifestyle change. Could you talk about that lifestyle change for a moment, because when you think about what a person could be or would be doing in the absence of the health challenge, then whatever lifestyle changes that they make would seem to be worth it just to get back to, you know, their old self so that they can do what they were actually put here to do.
Absolutely. That's one of the big things that I think why initially traditional medicine was so popular, because you didn't have to do anything except the addition of adding a pill to your routine. And that seemed, oh, I can do that. That's not a big deal, until these side effects became so evident and the ineffectiveness of them became evident as well. Also, because people weren't making any lifestyle changes, the conditions were actually getting worse, and then that required the addition of more medication that had more side effects. So people started seeing, this doesn't really work. You get sicker and sicker. So just taking this pill for, let's say, high blood pressure, for example, seems like a simple and easy thing to do, not a big deal. You go on about your life, and your blood pressure looks relatively normal, but you change nothing. And so then a year goes by, 2 years go by, and sometimes now the medication isn't working as well. Maybe you've gained a little more weight, been more sedentary. Now you need a little more. They've upped the amount. And then, you know, a couple more years go by. Now you've been on it, you know, 6-7 years. Hasn't seemed to pose a problem. But now diabetes pops up, or kidney issues start to pop up, because we never dealt with the high blood pressure and what was causing it in the first place. And so then now there's, oh, now my A1C is up. Now I have to add this pre-diabetes medication or diabetes medication. And then the list goes on and on and on, and then eventually end up, you know, with kidney problems and then kidney failure and dialysis and all these things. And it usually starts with something like as simple as high blood pressure. And we say simple because that doesn't sound like it's a big deal. You don't have that many side effects. But it is a big deal. And it is the first usually warning sign in the trio of deadly diseases that come together. Most kidney issues start with high blood pressure or diabetes. Usually before people get diabetes, they usually have a little bit, we call it a little bit of high blood pressure, right? So high blood pressure is like the warning. It's not even the warning sign. It is the alarm to say, stop, you have made a completely wrong turn. It is time to turn around now while you still can and do it pretty easily before you're 100 miles down the road in the wrong direction. That's what things like high blood pressure are telling us. That's what things like an elevated, blood sugar before you have diabetes is telling you. It's like, you have made a wrong turn. This is not a warning. This is an alarm. It has happened. Let's do something different. And so the pill sounds easy, but it isn't, because, like I mentioned, almost all medications have negative side effects. So the lifestyle changes are necessary, period. Otherwise, you're going to keep getting what you got, and it gets worse. It's that's how it works. It doesn't just go away without you doing something. And the something that you have to do isn't that hard if you know what it is to do. And I noticed that a lot of people don't really change much of their diet when they have some of these chronic illnesses, because the changes that they're told to make actually don't make much of a difference. So if I have to give up my favorite fried food or only eat a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but I'm still on the medication, then why make any changes if it doesn't do anything? I'm still on the medication. So people don't really have a motivation to make these changes because the reward isn't big enough to warrant the deprivation that they feel when they can't have their cake and they can't have their fried food and they can't have their meat and ribs and all this kind of stuff. So they're like, you know, I might as well do what I want to do because, you know, if that means I have to up a medication that I'm already taking, what's the big deal? So that's where a lot of people don't make that change. But when you switch to a, you know, the diet we're going to talk about and you change things like becoming more active, adding meditation, and you see the vast difference, it's huge, of how you feel and how you operate, then the reward is so great that it's obvious this is what I should do. And so that's what the lifestyle changes are about. It is about changing your life in such a drastic way that the reward is worth the change. And we have to start, you know, with the plate.
And would that be for anybody? Because I was actually speaking to a friend today who mentioned, and I was telling her about the show. I said, you know, you really need to tune in. You know, Dr. Lathan's going to be on. We're going to be talking about, you know, making the transition to a vegan lifestyle. And she mentioned to me that she didn't really, she was like, well, I don't know if, you know, she'd be really able to help me. And I'm like, why? Why do you say that? She said, because I'm on dialysis. And there's only certain vegetables that I can eat. There's only certain fruit that I can eat, you know. And I said, wow, you know, you really need to call in, you know, because, you know, I'd like to pose that question to you, Dr. Lathan, so that she can get an answer. So what if you take somebody in a situation like that, they're on dialysis and their diet is really restricted and, you know, a lot of the things that you might otherwise recommend to somebody that might not be on dialysis, they have to eat in real moderation. How could you assist somebody, or what would be some recommendations for somebody in terms of them who might hear this show and say, I would love to make the transition. I would love to get off of meat and, you know, do a whole foods plant-based diet, but there are just certain things that I need to be extra careful of, more formal person.
Right. Dialysis does present a bit of a challenge. It's not impossible at all, but you need help and guidance. People have been able to get off dialysis. It's not common, but it's possible. So, you know, I've worked with people like Dr. Theodore Watkins, who you've had on the show, and seen him help people get off of dialysis. One of the things, though, that can be done when you're on dialysis is that, you know, there are certain foods that you can't eat a lot of the greens and things that you really need to heal now become an issue because your body isn't filtering things properly. So sometimes before you're going for the dialysis, if it's, you know, quick, like within that a few hours before, you can eat a little bit more of those foods because you're going to filter that out during the dialysis. So, you know, if you haven't been eating greens, you know, the day of dialysis, you can have that, you know, for breakfast and things like that, because things are going to help get filtered out, you know, closer to the time. But generally, it's going to take a more individual approach and a plan to really work that out. You know, I don't want to just kind of throw out stuff to do without seeing the whole picture, because it is a little more tricky when you're on dialysis. But because a lot of times they're saying, you know, eat white breads and, you know, very little vegetables and very little certain fruits, and those, it's like there is no way you can actually heal eating the recommended diet. So there is a way around it, and you can still eat some of those foods. You still want to be eating them anyway, but in, you know, moderation. Everything should be, you know, still clean eating, whole foods and not the junk food. It's still going to help you feel better regardless. So, you know, having a very clean diet is helpful, and a plant-based diet is very helpful because you still don't want the effects of animal protein that still affects the body overall. So I would recommend for someone who's on dialysis to work with someone like Dr. Watkins in conjunction with myself to really put a plan together that will help them to get off of it. But it is possible, even if you're there. It's just a bit more difficult, but it's possible. So if you're not there, and even if you're at the point of, you know, kidney failure, you know, before dialysis, I've seen people be able to turn that around a lot easier than actually having gotten on the dialysis. So it's possible, but that needs some one-on-one consultation.
Well, we're going to be letting everybody know how they can get in contact with you, and as a result of getting in contact with you, they can also get in contact with Dr. Theodore Watkins, who, again, as you mentioned, is also a regular on the show. Dr. Lathan, again, to the 28-day going vegan transition program, we'll also be talking about the 3-day detox. By the way, the phone lines are lit. If you have a question or a comment, all you have to do is press 1, and I'll bring you on board. For somebody out there listening who just said, you know, hey, I just came from the doctor and I got a good bill of health. I mean, doctor said my heart rate was fine, my blood pressure was fine, my pulse rate, you know, everything, my cholesterol was good. Why would I even want to transition? Why would I, you know, what's for what? I'm good. Well, why would I want to go vegan? What would you say to that?
Well, good. I'm glad to hear you're doing well. I always like to hear that. There's always more that you can do to, you know, safeguard your health, and also, you know, depends on what they're measuring it against. A lot of times doctors are measuring your health based on their average patient. And so I always say, you know, get the details and the numbers, because it's amazing how many people just say, oh, he said my cholesterol was good or my blood pressure was good, but you didn't actually hear the number. And so many people are in poor health these days that good health is relative. So, you know, I would, number one, get the numbers so you can see them for yourself. But if you actually are in great shape, that's wonderful. There's always more to be done. There's always more energy that you can get from a plant-based diet. There's always improvements that you can do even if you're not sick. So it's not a diet for sick people. It's a diet for anyone, or lifestyle rather, for anyone who wants to maintain their health and improve it and just take it up to the next level. So if you're doing well, great. There's another level that you can go to and to ensure that it stays that way.
Well, Doc, we're talking about the 28-day going vegan transition program. Is there a reason for the 28 days? Is there a significance to the 28 days? Because that sounds like a very specific number. Why 28?
Well, it generally takes about, you know, 3 weeks or more for people to really adopt a new a lifestyle change. It takes about 21 days for the blood, your taste buds to change. And so, you know, we want to give it a little more time for that to happen. So when you're transitioning to something that's totally new, you want to give your body a chance to adjust and really reap the benefits of it. Most people start seeing benefits 2 to 3 weeks out. And so as far as taste buds change at about 21, habit changes kind of get cemented after about 30 days of making the lifestyle change. So that's why we're doing that, to give you enough time to actually have 4 weeks of a new diet, a new lifestyle, a new way. So then, number one, by the time this is over, you're going to have felt so good for the last few weeks. You're going to have developed new taste buds, and you're going to have developed a new habit. And then at the end of that 28 days, you can decide, do I want to keep feeling good and great and better and having clearer thoughts and all of this, or go back? And usually the answer is no, because you've given yourself enough time to see what it feels like when you have really cleaned up your diet.
So, again, it's the 28-day going vegan transition, and of course, you know, vegan people or people who have heard the term vegan associate being vegan with no dairy, of course, no meat and no dairy. Now, I could hear somebody out there, or no animal products. I could hear somebody out there saying, okay, well, on this transition, during this transition, do I need to give up sugar? You know, what about salt? What about, you know, all of the other things? And we know that there are some things that cause sugar in the body too, you know. So in addition to, is it strictly just focusing on the dairy and the meat, or would there be other things that they need to give up as well, for example, sugar?
Well, with the plan, we kind of guide you through that. So you do give up white processed sugar, but you don't give up sweets. We still show you how to have healthy sweets, so satisfy the sweet tooth without, you know, feeling deprived. So there's a way to do that too. So we do want to get off of white processed sugar because that causes its own problems. So we don't do a no-salt diet because salt is actually good for you when you have it in the proper form and the proper amount. So when you have sea salt, for example, that has all the nutrients and minerals in it versus white bleached table salt that doesn't, that's when you, you know, pose a problem. So we don't have people to, you know, eliminate salt, for example. No, salt makes food taste good. And it's all about the moderation with salt. It really is. And you actually need salt. You can't go on a salt-free diet. That's not even healthy for people who have blood pressure issues. So they still need a small amount of salt in their diet to balance things out. So we give you replacements that clean up the diet as opposed to just taking things out.
Well, could we talk for a moment then just even about, speaking of some of the things that you are taking out, of course, obviously meat, obviously dairy. For someone who may not know what the harmful effects of meat are, a lot of times people have heard that eating meat is bad for you, you know, especially when you take people like those of us who have family members who might not have given up meat, and we're sharing information with them about, you know, the benefits of eating a healthy plant. They need to hear it from, you know, and articulate it a bit better than we can. What are some of the harmful effects of eating meat? Because this is something that's going to be given up during the 28-day going vegan transition. Why meat? Why is meat on the list of things to give up? What's wrong with meat?
Well, there's a lot wrong with it. It's really not the optimal food for humans. You know, we have a really long digestive tract that takes a long time to get nutrients out of the food, which also gives a lot of time for food that takes even longer than that to putrefy in our system and get reabsorbed. And it makes it, meat is very difficult for the body to fully digest. So oftentimes there are remains of meat products that are left in the colon and digestive system that haven't fully broken down. And then that causes problems and inflammation and infections and issues that come along with that. But generally, you know, nutritionally speaking, it adds quite a bit of saturated fat and cholesterol, which a lot of us are getting much too much of. Our body doesn't require any cholesterol because we make cholesterol on our own and make enough of it. So when you're adding that often, especially when you're adding too much of it, that's, you get more than you need, and that causes problems and plaque in the arteries and all these other illnesses that are related to excess cholesterol. Even Alzheimer's, for example, has been related to excess fatty foods in the body that actually start clogging arteries in the brain. So meat and dairy are the foods that do those negative things that clog the arteries, that clog the blood cells, the cells for insulin, which is what causes the insulin resistance because they're clogged with fat. So even though we become sensitive to sugar once you have diabetes, sugar is not what causes diabetes. It is the fat in the animal products that overloads the cells and keeping the insulin out that causes the diabetes. So there are so many illnesses that are related to the consumption of dairy products, and dairy products cause inflammation in the body, period, whether you're lactose intolerant or not, because it's a foreign food for a baby cow. And so it's got a lot of protein, more than we possibly need, and it's got a lot of saturated fat. So usually in the diet, American diet, most of the saturated fat cholesterol comes from dairy products, even over meat, and especially in children's diet, because we're forcing milk on them because we've been told to, because they need calcium and they need vitamin D. And vitamin D is something that's added to milk. It's not even in the milk to begin with. And calcium that is taken from animal products actually leaches calcium from the bones, leaving us more susceptible to bone breaks, fractures, and all of the other bone deficiency diseases. So it's not the proper food, number one, especially when we're dealing with dairy products. It is has a lot of growth hormone, which is linked to lots of cancer. So it has the IGF growth hormone because it's meant to help a baby cow or calf grow very quickly to a several hundred pound animal. So in us, it just spurs the growth of things like cancer and other illnesses, which we don't need at all. So that's, you know, the one on the one hand. And then cheese is really just concentrated milk, is concentrated milk with the addition of salt, with the addition of a lot of salt. So it's very addictive because the properties in milk are meant to bond the baby cow to the mother. And so there's a chemical reaction, like a dopamine rush that happens when you drink milk or eat cheese, that's supposed to be a bonding thing for the parent and the baby. So when we do it, we just get addicted to it, and we make an emotional and physiological connection to that food. So we keep eating it, and then it causes, you know, all of these other illnesses that I've just outlined, because most illnesses start with inflammation, especially in the digestive tract. Over 70-80% of diseases start with in the digestive tract with inflammation. So that is why, number one, dairy is off the list. Number two, meat also causes an inflammatory reaction in the body. It also introduces saturated fat, cholesterol, and it oxidizes the cells. Oxidation, as you know, is like rust on a car.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same thing that's happening to the cells when we take in animal products. It is breaking them down, speeding up the aging process, and making us more susceptible to the disease. So animal products, whether it's cheese, milk, dairy, whatever, eggs, meat, none of them have antioxidants, but they all have oxidational properties. So it's like, if I'm someone who wants to be healthy and I want to stay young and feel good, am I going to choose food that corrodes myself, or am I going to choose foods that actually repair and build up the cells and increase the longevity of those cells, which are antioxidants? So all plant foods have antioxidants, and they do not introduce oxidation unless you do something to it, like deep fry it and add a bunch of processed sugar to it, and those kind of things will add oxidation. But plant foods in their natural form and slightly cooked or processed only add antioxidants. So this is why when you're on a plant-based diet, you look younger, you feel better, you feel younger, you have fewer aches and pains, because you're getting the oxidants, which would help the body repair faster. And so that's the short of it. But we could go down the list of the things that's wrong with meat, from introducing excess hormones in the body, because animals have hormones because they're living things, and then we take them in and add them to our hormones, which causes an imbalance and also spurs the growth of cancers and other things. It's hard to digest. It causes, you know, all kinds, it wreaks havoc on the body. So while it might taste good, that's about the only thing it's doing for you. That, you know, with the addition of getting some macronutrients like protein and some vitamins and minerals, all of which you can get from plant foods without that problem. So, you know, the list is long of what's wrong with animal products, from the antibiotics that they're given, which is causing antibiotic resistance in most of the population, causing superbugs, and the list goes on. But that's the not so short answer.
Well, what about somebody who says, well, you know, I eat range free. You know, I don't eat animals mm-hmm. that were raised, you know, in horrific mm-hmm. conditions. I eat range free animals. It's supposed to be better. What would your reply be to that?
Yeah, it is better, slightly, you know, like, you know, 5-10% better. It doesn't remove any of the other things I talked about. So what it does, you do want to, you know, it's better to have cleaner garbage than totally putrefied garbage, but it's still garbage is the way you want to look at that. So you don't get the antibiotics, which is good. So that's a good thing. But everything else I said is still true. It still, you know, introduces, you know, cholesterol and saturated fat. So sometimes when cows are raised more properly and they're able to actually graze on grass and things like that, they actually have, you know, a healthier meat, so you might get a few more minerals out of it than a cow that it's been raised in captivity and eats food that it shouldn't eat. But you're still getting the hormones from that animal, which still causes the growth of cancers and other things. You're still getting the inflammation when you're drinking the milk and cheese, whether it came from an organically fed cow or not. It still causes the inflammation. It's still full of salt and growth hormone and all the other things that comes with it. So while it is cleaner, and that is a good step in the right direction, it still does not take away the primary problem with meat anyway. So what has happened is the meat industry has found a way to make a relatively unhealthy product worse. So now you're choosing between bad and worse. So it was already bad because it's a meat animal product. And then they made it worse by, you know, raising animals in the most horrific conditions you could possibly imagine, and then feed them the worst food that you could possibly imagine, and then pump them up with antibiotics. And so they've made it worse. And so usually that's what you're getting at fast food restaurants. That's what you're getting at chain restaurants, the cheapest, worst meat that you can get. But we're not, when you go organic, range-free, you're not going from bad to good. You're going from worse just to bad. Okay, so you know what I'm saying? So you haven't crossed the barrier yet. You're doing yourself a favor, yes, but you're not doing the ultimate favor of switching all the way over. You know, a better thing would be to reduce the amount of that you're taking in. Yes, go range-free and organic and all of that. So I'm not discouraging that, but until you go fully plant-based, at least cut in half the amount of that you're eating, or go days without it, or choose, you know, and certainly not every meal. You know, there's ways to do it. It would just be to cut your consumption of it would be a really good way to step down and start going toward the plant-based lifestyle.
During the transition, the 28-day transition, is cooked food, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it...
is that included?
What's the word? Yeah, basically. Yeah, because I'm thinking, you know, with all of the nutrients and everything that's in a plant-based diet, you know, my understanding is that once you cook the food above a particular temperature, then it starts to or has lost its nutrients. So do you still cook it or steam it, or, you know, how does that process work?
We do still we have a number of raw recipes there, but we do have cooked recipes as well, and we recommend that people cook on, you know, the lowest heat possible, and so that they're maintaining most of the nutrients in the food. Anytime you cook food, it does decrease the nutritional value, and you can cook most of it out. But you'll still get fiber. You'll still get things from it. So we do include cooked food, but just, you know, showing you how to do it, like, for example, stir fries. You're not going to cook it till it's dead. You're going to cook it till the things are bright green and the colors are red and vibrant. They're still alive, but they've been heated and slightly cooked. You're still going to get quite a bit out of that when you do that. There's still going to be soups and beans and things that you're still going to get quite a bit of nutrients out. And then we're going to pair that with raw food so that you get the enzymes and other things in it as well. And a lot of times when you cook food, a lot of the vitamins or minerals go into the water of the food. So you, instead of throwing that out, you include that in. So there are raw diets, but we're not taking people quite there yet, because we understand there are steps to it, and that can be really challenging. But we do include a good amount of raw food and raw food recipes in there as well.
Can we talk about soy for a moment, Doctor? Because, you know, there's, during the transition, a lot of times people have gone from eating and drinking even, for example, cow's milk to soy milk, from, you know, eating meat to soy dishes. And there's a good soy and a bad soy. All soy is not good. So could you talk about that for somebody who's considering making the transition? You need to be mindful of the soy that you intake. Could you talk about soy?
Sure. And there's a lot of controversy about soy out there, but it's just a debate. There isn't really controversy in the actuality of it. A lot of the misinformation about soy has been, you know, spurred by the meat industry, because it's taking a lot of their share. People are using meat substitutes and things like that to help reduce their meat consumption. So not only are they putting out just, they're actually putting out wrong information so that people will be afraid of soy. So there are a lot of studies that show soy is protective, especially against reproductive cancers like breast cancer, prostate cancer, and others that affect the reproductive system. And so other people are saying, oh, but soy has estrogen, so that feeds cancer. Excess estrogen can feed cancer, but soy has phytoestrogen, which is much different. It's a plant estrogen, which acts much differently in the body than regular estrogen. And, you know, the body has, you know, without going into too much detail, though, the body has two different types of receptors that actually receive estrogen. One is alpha, and the other, we're calling it beta. So alpha is like the main receptor that takes up animal-based estrogen. So that would be our human estrogen, and any animal products that introduce estrogen, it's going to take those up and increase the amount of estrogen in your system. Phytoestrogens, which are plant estrogens, respond only to the beta receptor. And the beta receptors have shown to be protective against diseases, including cancers and things like that. And so it doesn't increase the amount of the estrogen that would affect cancer and other negative things in the body, let's say fibroids and things like that, because it's a completely different receptor, and it acts differently, and it has a protective quality. So when people are saying, oh, I don't want to eat soy because of the estrogen, but they're drinking milk and eating meat, you're actually giving your body pretty much the same estrogen that you already have and adding excess to it, whereas the plant estrogens actually sometimes block some of the uptake of excess estrogen in the body, which is protective. So it's a much different thing. It doesn't feed cancer. It doesn't cause cancer. So the estrogen factor is just simply misunderstood about how these two different estrogens interact. So if you're concerned about getting too much estrogen, you would want to stop eating animal products which have the same estrogen that we do. So that kind of cuts that issue that's often brought up, and most people have no idea the difference between phytoestrogens and regular estrogen or the alpha and beta receptors. So that's number one. Number two, I was mentioning there's a lot of studies that show how protective soy is. Those studies were done in a lot of Asian countries or people who were eating whole soy, unprocessed soy. So that would be things like the regular soybeans. That would be miso. That would be edamame, which is the young soybean. That would be tofu, tempeh, those things that are minimally processed that if you had a batch of soybeans, you could make all of those things in your kitchen, including soy milk. Soy milk was also part of these studies because soy milk is simply made from boiling soybeans. So you can make all of these things in your kitchen. These are protective. So what causes a problem is when we stop eating whole foods. Those things are in their whole forms. When we start doing protein isolates. So now we take the soybean and isolate the protein away from all the other stuff, and then we add a bunch of junk to it and chemicals to it and stuff that you couldn't make in your kitchen if you dreamt about it because it has to be made in a factory lab. And so now you have these products that are made from soy protein isolate and usually about 25 other things that you can't pronounce. And so that is when soy becomes unhealthy. Eating it in that way, in that form, and eating a lot of it can cause health issues, can cause issues with the thyroid, can lead to some illnesses if with overconsumption, can lead to obesity when you're eating too much of it in that form because now it's concentrated and now it is processed and now it's got a bunch of other unhealthy ingredients to it. So that's the general problem with soy. You want to stay away from eating too much of that soy protein isolate and just eating soy in its whole form, tempeh, tofu, edamame, miso, those kind of things, and making sure the other issue is organic. They're like, oh, but soy is all GMO. All soy is not GMO. A lot of it is, but most of the GMO soy is fed to animals. So if you're concerned about GMO, then you should stop eating meat because all of those cows and chickens are being fed soy, wheat, and corn, which they don't naturally eat, but they're growing it very cheaply and very quickly, and those foods tend to bulk up animals, which can also bulk us up if we eat too much of it. And so if you're a meat eater, you're getting a healthy dose of GMOs through the meat you're eating. So what you'd want to do is go for organic, whole food soy products. So again, organic tempeh, organic tofu, organic soy milk, organic edamame, organic miso. And then you're eating then the type of soy that people have been eating for thousands of years, which has shown to be very healthy and protective of a lot of the diseases, especially cancer.
So the people who've made the transition, Doctor, from whole food or whole milk, vitamin D, you know, milk or whatever. I had to put the vitamin D in there with the cow's milk. But soy.
Well, they fortify soy milk with vitamin D too. So if you switch to soy milk from cow's milk, you can get the same vitamin D, except you're not going to get things that leach calcium from your bones. So, yeah, vitamin D is added to milk. It's not a naturally occurring thing.
Well, with all of the benefits that you just outlined concerning soy, and there was a lot of benefits, and just back to sticking with the milk for a moment, there are people who say, well, you know, I'm going to drink almond milk or rice milk. It sounds like, I mean, do these two other milks contain the same benefits, health benefits that soy milk would contain?
Not exactly, no. No, they don't. So, you know, generally soy milk is going to have more protein. I mean, soy has lots of fiber, very high in the protein content. So I would say, you know, it's almond milk has different properties than soy milk, healthy benefits. Rice milk has different. It tends to be higher in the sugar content. So I would, you know, just be aware of that with the rice milk. All of these milks are best bought unsweetened anyway, so that we're not adding additional sugar to our system. So there are different benefits to each of those. If you're, you know, not getting a lot of protein in your diet, you could use soy milk, but there are a lot of other ways to boost your protein as well.
What would you use for sweeteners, Doc? Because I could hear somebody saying, well, if I'm going to be drinking unsweetened soy milk, rice milk, or almond milk, and I'm still trying to eat cereal, you know, what am I going to sweeten my cereal with? What would you suggest?
You would sweeten it with berries, raisins. That's how you should sweeten your cereal, with natural fruit. It should be the first line of defense. First, we need to change our taste buds so that we're not so sensitive that we need this big sugar boost. You know, growing up, I used to put sugar, white sugar in my cereal and then drink the milk when it's all gone afterwards, and there'd still be like a tablespoon of sugar in there, it looked like, or a teaspoon. And that was insane. I had no idea how bad that is, but there's no way I could eat anything that sweet now because I have trained my taste buds differently. So first we got to step down from needing everything to be sweet, needing our teas to be sweet, needing everything to be ultra syrupy sweet. And you do that by kind of doing a cleanse, a detox, switching your diet for 28 days, and then you break the habit of the sugar, and then you don't need as much. And so I would say absolutely start with raisins, which are very sweet when you put them in, or you can put any type of, you know, a berry blend, even frozen berries, throw it in there, mix it up. And I would start there. And then if you just, it's so unbearable that you still have to have a little sugar, I would say use something like, you know, a raw agave, just a tad bit, or a raw coconut nectar, or even a raw honey, which isn't technically vegan, but you could use that because that has some property benefits to it, but very little. You know, you really want to rely on the fruit as the sweetness. And not only that, with the fruit, you don't just get sugar. You get all the benefits of the antioxidants, the fiber, the nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins as well. And then just allow yourself to step off of the sugar slowly.
Are you a proponent of stevia?
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Stevia can be tricky. You have to use very little when you're if you're using it. And cereal, we're talking like less than an eighth of a teaspoon. We're talking like a pinch because it's so sweet. But it is the healthiest sweetener because it's really not sugar at all. It's just the leaf of the plant is just very sweet tasting. So that's good for diabetics and others. We certainly don't want to use any fake sugars at all. Stevia is not a fake sugar. It just doesn't raise the blood sugar. So stevia would definitely be an option.
So I just want everybody to know that we're talking about the 28-day going vegan transition program, and, you know, people might be out there listening, well, dang, did I miss it? Or, you know, but this is something you can start at any time. You don't have to, it's not something that, oh, I missed it. You know, if you want to get started, we can tell you how you can get started with that. But you also do, Doctor, a 3-day detox, and of course the transition from from eating meat to the 28-day, you know, completion of the 28-day going vegan transition program, that's going to be a detox in and of itself of sorts. But could you talk about the 3-day detox that you do periodically, and you tell the listeners what that's all about and why that's important, that the body even needs to do a periodic detox, and how that's done?
Sure. So the detox is like a 3-day kind of eating plan that helps you kind of merge into the 28 days. So it's a little more I would say detailed in terms of what to eat. More raw foods are included. So you're really like giving your system a cleanse. You know, by eating, you know, a lot less processed food, a lot more juices, a lot more salad-based foods to really allow your body to cleanse, to, you know, reset. So basically a detox is really just not eating processed foods, eating very much whole foods, and that is like a kickstart so that as you transition to, you know, a plant-based diet, your body has, like, released a lot of the toxins, a lot of other things, and so you get even more benefit out of a transition to a plant-based program.
So a person should actually, before they even consider doing the 28-day program, possibly go through a 3-day detox to prepare the body so there wouldn't be such a shock to the system.
Well,
and I'm sure that,
you know, you don't have to, because, you know, the 28-day program is going to be a cleanse, you know, in and of itself. So it's not really necessary, like you have to do a cleanse. But, you know, it just depends on where you are. If you're ready to jump into it, the cleanse helps. But if you're not, you know, you're going to get cleaned out slower, you know, on the program, you know, without doing it, but you're still going to reap the benefits of that. So it's really an addition that we do a couple of times a year, like at the beginning of the year when people are really ready to kick the habit of all the junk food they've eaten over holidays. And so the 28-day program that you can start right now doesn't include that, but it's something we could always add. But, you know, the 28-day program eases you into it, gives you all that you need to be successful once you start.
Well, I know that with your program that it's going to be, you're going to take into consideration certain things, one of them being the quote, you've heard the term, the healing crisis, that when people start to actually start to cleanse and start to, you know, make changes, dietary changes, going from bad food to good food, going from, you know, just eating horrible to now, you know, giving the body what it needs. As the body starts to heal, certain toxins are released and the person might actually feel bad, you know, for a day or two, and they might attribute that to the change and feel like, you know, hey, I was feeling good or feeling all right until I started this whole vegan transition thing. Now I'm sweating. Now I'm, you know, I'm going through these changes. My body's not feeling good, and they stop. Could you talk about that process, the healing, for lack of a better term, the healing crisis, and how, you know, if people stick with it, you know, that this too shall pass, these feelings of, you know, not feeling optimal will pass, and that you'll eventually find your stride and, you know, you'll start to feel better. You know, don't give up is the point.
Right. So that sometimes happens, sometimes not. So it's not always something. It really depends on kind of the person and their body and how they respond to certain things. A lot of people who, you know, transition don't have any, like, negative feelings or anything that pops up, but some do, you know, anything, depending on, it really depends on how clean or your diet was before you start. So some people who, like, you know, are getting off of coffee, for example, when they stop drinking it, they're going to get these massive headaches, but if you give it a few days, that'll stop because your body's basically detoxing from it and is craving something it's, you know, had all this time. So, it's similar to that. It's like your body has been fed a drug, basically, and when you stop taking it, it is yelling for it because it's been used to getting it for X number of years now. So then it, you know, pops up with all kinds of, you know, headaches and other things and sometimes just, you know, not feeling well. But sometimes that does happen when you start eating very clean or taking supplements. The body kind of goes through a detox symptoms of releasing things kind of all at once, and so you might not feel so great. Usually passes within, you know, 1 to 3 days of that type of feeling, but then you feel so much better afterwards. So, yeah, that can happen. People have, you know, boils or something that come up because toxins are trying to get out the system as quickly as possible, but generally this program is gentle enough that that doesn't happen. And then if you do things like exercise and sleep well, it can minimize the healing crises so that it doesn't actually feel like a crisis.
Someone just texted me, Doc, asked me, is coffee bad? You reply?
It's not really.
I'll let her answer that.
Yeah, so coffee is a stimulant, and it's causes dehydration in the body. It's very harsh. So it's much too strong for how we drink it. So I would say it's not a healthy food to drink. It's not the worst thing you could drink, but it's really not, would be not considered a health food, and I wouldn't recommend it at all. And that also goes for decaf. Decaf is worse because it's now the process, it's been overly processed. The bean has been processed to get the caffeine out. And so it's best just to drink less or drink none. And then also the problem with coffee is what is added to it, the creamers and the sugar and all that kind of thing. So if you're drinking black organic coffee, one tiny cup, you know, that might not be posing that much of a problem. But if you're drinking more than that and it's not organic and it's, you know, more than a cup, then I would say that would cause a problem, and I really wouldn't recommend it.
And during the transition, I know that the microwave has to go. I mean, not just during the transition, but even if you're not transitioning. But certainly, if you would not recommend the microwave, because there are people out there that might still be, you know, using it. Could you tell them why they should not?
Right. I mean, the microwave kills a lot of the nutrients in food, and when you're heating animal products in it, it actually makes them, some of them more of a carcinogen than they already are. So it changes the nature of the food, and the molecules beat around much too fast, and so it damages the food in a way. So it's very unhealthy. It shouldn't be used to heat anything other than like a towel that you're trying to disinfect or a sponge, because it damages the food. So it's not good for plant foods, and it's especially not good for animal products. And you can easily Google that to find the details, because basically it's heating at a temperature so high that it damages the food. It causes the molecules to beat against each other much faster than if you were just cooking it on the stove or steaming it or any of that. And so that then poses a problem. So not recommended at all.
You know, this hour has gone by so fast, and I know that there are people that want this show to keep on going, you know. But Dr. Lathan is a regular on the show. She comes on every second Thursday of the month, so, and I encourage you to go back and listen to the archives. You'll find shows with Dr. Lathan. Wherever you see a show by her, just click it and listen to it, and I guarantee you that it's either for you or for somebody that you know. Dr. Lathan, you've got a summer vegan cooking series, and you've got some classes coming up, and can you just share with a little about the series, and you know, and how people can get more information about the series? Because there are people who, again, making the transition, you need to know, okay, if I can't eat this, what can I eat? And once I find out what I can eat, how do I prepare it? Doc, could you tell them about your series, your summer vegan cooking series?
Right. Well, people can, you know, sign up for the classes as well as the 28-day program on my website, which is rubylathan.com. So if you decide to do the 28-day program, for example, the classes are a great complement to it, because you will learn how to make some of the food hands-on. But you can do either or. But with the 28-day program, you'll get recipes and a lot of your question and answers and several ebooks, and it's on demand, so you can start it whenever you want, and then join our Facebook group to ask questions and things like that, to kind of, you know, basically walk you through it. So it's very detailed with shopping lists and all of that. The cooking classes start June 24th, and it's a series of three. We're starting with cheeses, vegan cheeses, dips, the sauces. So that's often something that comes up. People want to know, how do you replace that? So we'll have some really good options for that. And our second class is vegan entrees. So if you don't know what to eat for dinner or lunch, then this is the class to come and check out. And then the third class is desserts, so vegan desserts. So we'd show you how to make healthy, whole food vegan desserts, and that one is on July 15th. So they're all on Sundays. We have June 24th, July 8th, and then July 15th. All of that information is on the website, and you can sign up for the series, or you can just choose the class that you want to come to. If you want to just come to one or two of them, you can do that. And so it's always a fun class. We're having it in D.C., over near Eastern Market at the office event space at the DC Dentist, who is a holistic dentist who's spoken at several of my events, and so we're using their space, and it's a really nice space, and so it's accessible, metro accessible, all of that. So if you're in DC, it's Sunday, so the parking is easy and free. You can come on down and join us. Start at 3 o'clock, and you must register. So just go to the website, Ruby Lathan, and that's RubyLathon.com, and you'll see the link there, or you can go to the events page. But there's a link right there on the homepage. You'll see, or you can go to RubyLathan.com/events. And you will also see information about to get more details on the 28-day program, as well as the cooking classes. So we've had lots of people join, attend my classes in the past, and it's always nothing but good reviews. And we've gotten several great reviews from the 28-day vegan program as well. We have people just saying, you know, they feel better. They've lost weight. They now know what to eat. The shopping list have been super helpful for them. So this is all good stuff, which is why I like doing it, because I always love to hear the feedback, which is inevitably I feel better. This, you know, my asthma cleared up. I don't have mucus in my system anymore. I'm not, you know, congested anymore. These are the kinds of things we hear all the time. So from simple things from, you know, congestion to arthritis going away, joint pain going away, diabetes going away, all of these things happen by simply switching the diet. So it's definitely something you want to give a try and, you know, join us and have some fun with it.
Doug, last question, what about people who say it just costs too much to eat right? You know, there are people who make those claims even though they've never even tried. You know, they just have heard somebody else say it, and they say, well, you know, I would eat healthier. I would, you know, go vegan or vegetarian, but, you know, it just costs too much.
Right.
So expensive.
And, you know, what costs too much is medication and early death. To me, that's a much heavier price to pay. So, it really doesn't cost too much to eat healthy. It just costs too little to eat badly, you know. So you just have to shift your thinking on this. And I do get it, because when you go in the store and the organic stuff costs more, yes, that's true. But even if you don't go organic and just leave off the meat and the dairy, you're going to still see the results, because the plant foods have those protective properties even against some of these pesticides. So, number one, it's not as expensive as you think. If you start buying a lot of meat substitutes and vegan, you know, meals and products like that at, you know, the grocery stores, those can be more expensive. But when you're buying whole foods, you're buying pasta, you're buying beans, you're buying, you know, brown rice, those things are not expensive. And, you know, a pound of beef costs more than a pound of tofu, and you're not going to eat a whole pound of tofu. So it's all relative, especially if you're eating the clean meats as well. Those are much more expensive than a lot of the plant foods. Then a cup of beans is going to be, you know, less than half as expensive as the equivalent of a meat product. So it really doesn't have to be expensive if you kind of start going for the whole foods, preparing the foods yourself, then you'll end up actually saving money.
Dr. Lathan, I want everybody to know, because you've heard this show and you want to hear her, you want to hear more of her. She's going to be on Good Morning Washington. Doc, when's that going to be?
That's going to be on Monday. It's Monday at about 9 o'clock, between 9 and 10. So people can tune in, and there'll be a link on my Facebook page and everywhere that you can, if you can't tune in, you know, 9:30 on Monday, that you can certainly see the replay. But if you are near television, News Channel 8, it's the ABC 7 / News Channel 8, you can watch it live and, you know, give a shout out.
Mm. Wow. Everybody, you have had the opportunity, the pleasure, as I have. I told you it was going to be a great show, to listen to Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, powerful, powerful. You're listening to somebody that knows what she's talking about. She cured herself of thyroid cancer, okay? So anytime somebody has that type of personal experience, it's not like she just read a book, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, took the title on as a healer. She's healed herself, okay? Now, of course, she shares her testimony, and, you know, if you decide that you would like more information and you decide to work with her because of a condition that you have, you know, we're not selling anything. We're not selling a pill, you know, or anything like that. I almost have to do this disclaimer with these shows now because oftentimes people think that, you know, oh, what are you saying? That if I do this, then I will get rid of my diabetes, I will get rid of my high blood pressure, I will get rid of my heart condition. Well, it depends. There's a strong possibility that you can and that you will, but you have to be consistent. You have to follow instructions, you know, and, you know, we just want to make it clear to you that you will cure yourself like Dr. Lathan cured herself, okay? She can guide you. She can coach you, but you're going to be the one that goes shopping. She's not going shopping for you. You're going to be the one that does the juicing. She's not going to juice for you, you know. So you're going to be the one. Your healing is in your hands. But Dr. Lathan is definitely an excellent person to have coaching you along the way. Dr. Lathan, you do continue to let people know that you do coach for people who have conditions and they want more information on how they can get in contact with you for coaching. You do coach, and you do help guide people through the process, correct?
Absolutely. Sure. People can also book appointments and complimentary discovery call to find out, you know, more about how my plan, nutrition plans work. But you can call me at or email me at info@rubylathan.com, and we will send you information and links on getting started. Or you can reach out by phone at 202-709-7829.
Dr. Lathan, thank you so much for this interview today. You gave us some more time than we anticipated. Any parting words for our listeners today? Is there anything that we did not cover concerning the 28-day going vegan transition that you would like to share, or did we do it justice?
I think we've did it justice. It's an incredible program that me and another health coach actually put together to really help people do just that transition. And it's a great kickstart. You have over 70-plus menu items, recipes to choose from, and we lay out the plan pretty simply and answer a lot of the questions that people have. So it's a great program, and we're pretty proud of it and happy to see that it's working for a lot of folks.
I want to let everybody know before we go also about the Veggie Chest. You can check out Dr. Lathan on YouTube. She created the Veggie Chest to help people to see that, I mean, to give you a visual of how to, you know, make certain dishes, how to juice certain things, because oftentimes people's like, okay, I've never done this before. I don't know anybody else who's a vegetarian or a vegan. I need somebody to take me by the hand, and I need to see how it's done. So definitely check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. That's V, like Victor, E-G-G-I-E, Chest, C-H-E-S-T. And you get started, you can watch and learn, okay, and grow and heal. Dr. Lathan, I thank you again so much, my sister, for all of the work that you've done, for all of the people, all of the lives that you've touched, all of the people's lives who you will touch, you know, because, again, the work that you do is so, so very much needed. I mean, there are people out here that are hurting. There are people out here that are sick. There are people out here that are dying. And, you know, you having chosen the field of endeavor that you have of healing people, helping people, I mean, that takes a special person, you know. And so I thank you so much for just all of the love that you've shown through your work to help this world and this planet through what it is that you do. Thank you so much for being my guest. I feel very honored to have you as a guest. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm glad that you're part of this, getting the word out to folks so they can live healthier lives.
I certainly can. People like you make it easier to do that because, again, when I see people and I hear your testimony, I want everybody to hear it, you know, because it gives people hope, you know. And so I thank you again. Until the next time, everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, make sure that you contact her. Go to her website, Ruby Lathan, that's RubyLathon, okay, .com. And, again, check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube. And until the next time, Dr. Lathan, have a wonderful show on Monday. And I know that that series is going to be awesome, the cooking series. So until the next time, everybody, she'll be back on the second Thursday of next month. So until then, Dr. Lathan, take care. I'll be in touch.
All right. Have a great night.
Great show. Thank you. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, what a powerful, powerful sister with a powerful testimony. I mean, does anybody listening, is anybody out there that's listening right now know anybody else that have cured themselves of cancer after the doctors diagnosed them and they just decided, you know what, I'm not going that route. I'm not going that route. Not me. You're not getting this one, okay? I'm going to change my diet to a live it and see what happens. And as a result of changing her diet to a live it, get it, diet, live it, she changed her life. And now she goes around helping other people and showing other people and teaching other people how they can possibly have the same testimony that she had. For those who are ill, sick, there's hope. Can you imagine what you would be doing, what your life would be like if it wasn't filled with doctor's appointments? Now, there's no judgment here. You know, regardless of how you got here, you're here. You didn't hear this show by accident. You tuned in on purpose. You're here because you wanted to be here. And so that means that either this show is for you or it's for somebody that you know. I do these shows so that you can have hope, so that when you go to the doctor and you get a report and it's not the best report, that it's not a death sentence, that there are people out here that have taken another path and as a result of taking another path, got different results. I encourage you again to go down the archives and listen to the other shows that we have. Dr. Lathan is a regular. Brother Coy Dunstan is a regular. He cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon after the doctors had given her 6 weeks to live. He changed her diet to a live it, and she was back in the pulpit preaching before it was all over with. She was back in the pulpit preaching and giving glory to God. That testimony can be your testimony, okay? But there's going to have to be some changes that are made. You can't do what got you here, okay, and continue to do that if you're going to expect the miracle. And I say miracle kind of, you know, tongue-in-cheek, because really, if you give your car the gas that it needs, it's not a miracle. If it drives, right? If it gets you from point A to point B, it's not a miracle because you're giving it what it's supposed to have, right? But when we find ourselves in a position where we can't do the things that we want to do because of our body, we're praying for a miracle, right? But try giving the body what it needs. It's a process. And if for whatever reason you find yourself on this path and you slip, just get back up. Just get back up and try it again, okay? Because if you keep trying, you'll get to where you're going. You want to stack the odds in your favor. You heard a lot of information today. I encourage you to go back and listen to the show again and share the show with somebody else. Okay, if you enjoyed this meal today, share it with somebody else. But by all means, go back and listen to it again. Sometimes we hear stuff and it's like overwhelming. It's so much. Sometimes we got to hear it again and again. Okay, so listen to it as many times as it takes for it to sink in. I want you to hear Dr. Lathan's passion. She knows what she's talking about. She's done it, all right? And you can do it too, all right? So just wanted to encourage you. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate your time. You could be doing 1,000 things, but you've chosen to spend the time with my person and Dr. Lathan. So thank you so much. Please share the link with other people. Again, we need this information to get around because, hey, we can heal this planet one person at a time, one meal at a time. All right? All right. My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.